Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shurim on Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom, and we are now studying Masechet Nedarim on Daf Pei Bet Amud Bet, the last segment of our analysis of the first two Mishnayot of the 11th and final Perek of Nedarim. Continuing on with the theme of Hafara, of rejection of a Neder, if you recall, just a background to this, if you recall, in the Sugya of Hatarat Nedarim in the 9th Perek, we noted that the original halakha was that a neder which included components which were releasable or available for release, such as a person took a vow from wine, and then when they realized that that would involve avoiding wine on Shabbat and on holidays, that was an opening for release. The original halakha was that when they were released, they were allowed to drink wine on holidays, but not during the week. Until Rabbi Akiva came and taught, neder shehutar miksato hutar kulo. Once a single ban has been partially released, it's entirely released. And therefore, for instance, if you banned a whole group of people and it turned out that there was a relative among them and you had reason to be released, the whole group is now released from the ban. Question is, does the same thing apply to Hafarat Nedarim? Now, from the get-go, we know that it does not, because we have already seen that when it comes to Nedarim, where the rejection, with the ability to reject, comes under the rubric of Dvarim Shebeinu Levena, we have seen that you can only reject that component of the neder that affects the relationship between the wife and the husband, not the wife and others. So, for instance, in the Mishnah at the end of the Masechet that we've already quoted, if a woman takes a ban to never have relations with any Jew, she's a married woman, the husband can reject that part that affects him. They continue to have relations. However, the ban continues in relation to all other men, and therefore, if he dies, divorces her, she may not marry anybody else. Let's see whether or not that feature of a split rejection, a partial rejection, holds also for Nedarim that involve Inui Nefesh, or is it a unique feature of Beinu Levena? I'm Rav Yudah Mar Shmuel. Now, Drami Shtei Kikarot, she took a ban from two loaves of bread, a single ban. These two loaves of bread are asur to me. One of them is, as the Ran points out, a nice white bread, and the other one is a dark, not so tasty bread, the kind of thing you'd eat if you had nothing else around, perhaps. Be'achat mitana v'achat mitana. One of these represents Inui Nefesh, and the other one does not. Since he is able to reject the ban on the white bread, he can also reject the ban on the other bread. In other words, Hafarat Nedarim becomes the rights to reject part of a neder, he can reject the entire neder if the neder is about Inui Nefesh. Rabbi Yochanan, mefer l'mitane ve'in mefer l'shein mitane. Rabbi Yochanan, quoted by Rav Asi, says that you can only reject the ban on the one that causes Inui Nefesh. In other words, the split that holds for Beinu Levena also holds for Inui Nefesh. Now, the Ika de Amri, some people read it a little differently. Ba Amine Rav Asi Rabbi Yochanan. The Rav Asi had asked Rabbi Yochanan, Nadra Mishteki Karot, Bechad Mitana Vachat Ein Mitana Mahu. What if she took a ban from two loaves, and only one of them causes her this kind of discomfort? What's the story? So in this second version, Rav Asi wasn't quoting Rav Yochanan, Rav Asi asked Rav Yochanan. Either way, Rav Yochanan's ruling was you can only reject the ban for the bread that causes Inui. Now let's see if this will stand up. Eitave, we challenge Rav Yochanan. Haishashinad Rabbi Nazir, if a woman took a ban of Nazirut, this is in Masachet Nazir, getting us ready for our next Masachet, and she was violating the neder. She took a ban of Nazirut, and I mean, the next day she's drinking wine, she's going to funerals. Harezu sofeget at arba'im. So she gets punished. She gets the makot for violating it. Now that's fairly straightforward. But the reason we said it is because of the next part. Heferla ba'ala v'hi lo yadash heferla. Let's say her husband rejected the ban, and she did not know about it. All right, which substantiates something that we posited earlier, is that she does not need to hear or be aware of the hafara for it to be effective. And she was violating the Nazirut, meaning in her mind she was a bad person violating Nazirut. In reality, there was no Nazirut. She doesn't. Now, why is that? It's because if his hafara is good. The chiddush of that Mishnah is to tell us that even though she thinks she's violating it, since in reality she's not, there's no makot. All right, fine. But the underlying principle there is that the husband's hafara is a good hafara. If you're going to tell me, Rabbi Yochanan, that hafara only applies to that segment of the neder that causes inui, Duma min hayayin deed latzarai ferla. Perhaps when he rejected her nizirut, he only rejected it as vis-a-vis wine. Wine certainly is an enjoyable thing, and doing without wine is inui nefesh. Min chertzanu min zagvoi ferla. But as we will see very soon when we start studying Masachet Nazir, actually we'll first see it in the sixth parak of Nazir. The violations of Nizirut involve not just drinking wine, but also eating the seeds and the peel. Chatzan is the peel, the zag is the seeds of grapes, and those things, there's no inui nefesh in avoiding those. Right? So, v'adahay lo eat latzara, there's no pain for her to avoid the seeds and the peel of a grape, and therefore, if you're right, that the husband's rights to be mayfair only apply to that segment of the neder that involves inui nefesh, then his hafara should only allow her to drink wine, but not to eat those pieces of the grape. She should still be banned from that. Tis pogatar bayim. So Rav Yosef in nizirut lachatzayin. So Rav Yosef makes the following statement that we're going to expand upon. He said nizirut is not compartmentalizable. You can't say there's a half nizirut. Either you're a nazir or you're not a nazir. And since part of the nizirut is liable for rejection, therefore the whole nizirut is gone. Now Abaye was not comfortable with Rav Yosef's phrasing because he believed that Rav Yosef meant to say was that nizirut is something that as a qualitative piece either exists in its entirety or not. However, notice Amar Abaye, ha korban lachatzin nizirut ika. In other words, you're not willing to allow there to be a qualitatively half nizirut, but you're allowing for a quantitatively half nazirut. You're allowing someone to, let's say, be a nazir for 15 days and then bring a korban. In other words, Abaye is saying, why didn't you say, Rav Yosef, ein chatzaim b'nazirut? There's no halfway marks in nazirut at all. The way you said it made it sound like you can't have somebody who's a half nazir who only avoids these things but not those things. Abaye was bothered by that. Ela amar Abaye, ein nazirut l'chatzaim v'ein korban l'chatzaim. Abaye wanted to make it a total statement. There is no halfway mark in Nizirut, not qualitatively and not temporally. There's no such thing as a 15-day Nizirut that you can complete and bring a Korban. So, Meiteve, Hashashin Adraba Nazir V'Frisha Behemta, a woman was a Nizira and separated her animal for her Nizirut. V'acharkach Hefer La Ba'ala, and then the husband rejected the Nizirut, V'viya Chatata Of, V'ina V'viya Olata Of. If a woman or man is a nazir, and during the term of the nazirut they encounter tumat mate, all those days are destroyed. She has to bring an asham nazir tameh, which involves a chatata of and rata of, the two birds, and then a keves l'asham, and then afterwards starts counting a new nazirut. We'll deal with all of those details in Masachat Nazir. But here we have a woman who was a nizira, and she set aside her animal, and then the husband was mayfair the nizirut. She still brings chatata of. V'yamart en korban l'chatzin nizirut. If you're right, Abaye, that there is no korban for a half nizirut, amay mevia chatata of. Remember, hafara doesn't mean the thing never happened. It just means it's blocked now. So that means she had a nizirut of, let's say, 15 days. So if you're right that there is no korban for half nazirut, why is she bringing any korban at all? I have elamai, so how will you explain it? Yesh korban l'chatzin nazirut? So Abaye says back, are you trying to tell me that there is a korban for half nazirut? Shalosh be'mat ba'i le'ituyi. She shouldn't bring a chatata of. She should bring the olah, the chatat, and the shlamim, which a nazir brings when they complete their full nazirut properly. So Abaye says, certainly you can't suggest that this one bird of chatata of represents any sort of real korban for nazirut. Chatat olah u'shlamim ela le'olam ein korban l'chatzin nazirut. Abaye says, I'm right, there is no korban for half nazirut. V'chatata of tematia, why did she bring the chatata of? Shum no chatata ala safek. A chatat generally comes when there is some sort of a safek. Whether it's a shkaga, or you even bring a chatat when there is a safek about which thing you ate. So therefore, since a chatat can come for a safek, in this case, since she took a net of nizirut, even though the husband rejected it, we allow the chatat to be brought. But she's not really fulfilling a nizirut. He didn't have a nizirut. He rejected it. And the nizirut is out. Eitavei, so we have a third challenge to Rabbi Yochanan. And this is, sorry, second challenge to Rabbi Yochanan. Here's the Mahalach. Rabbi Yochanan claimed that you may only for part of it. We challenged him by pointing out that if a husband can be made for his wife's nizirut, then you see that even the parts that don't involve inui nefesh are rejected. So if Yosef said, that's because of special law nizirut, it's all one piece. Abaye, within that, challenged his wording and said, it should not only be one piece qualitatively, but also temporally, and there is no such thing as a half nizirut. We challenged that by pointing out that if a woman's nizirut is rejected by her husband, she brings a korban. Abaye points out, yes, but the fact is she doesn't bring the korban of nizirut, but a chatat, because a chatat is, shall we say, a relatively easy thing to bring, because it can be brought ala safek, so she brings it here also, but it's certainly not for nizirut. So then we bring another challenge for Rabbi Yochanan. Haisha shenad rabbi nazir v'nitma, if a woman took a nizirut, and then became tamei v'achar kach hefer labala, and then the husband rejected it, mevi'ah chatat ha'of, in mevi'ah olat ha'of, again she brings chatat ha'of only. If you're going to tell me that he can reject only that part which involves inui nefesh, maybe his rejection, when he said you're not in Nazira, only affects wine, which of course is inui nefesh. But we can't argue, we think, well, there's no way to argue that her avoiding funerals is inui nefesh. And therefore, when he rejected her nizirut, it should be the case that she now may drink wine, but she's still not allowed to go to funerals. Right? Amri, this guy is going obviously in a different direction of Yosef, not allowing for the issue of chatzin nizirut, but just saying, look at the total of nizirut. If you want to accept Rav Yosef's dictum, saying ein nizirut l'chatzayin, maybe that means within wine. So once wine is rejected, so also pits and peels and grapes themselves are all rejected as one unit. But what does it have to do with tumat meit? So Amri tumat meit nami latzara. The answer is your premise is wrong. That her having to avoid going to funerals is also a source of tzar. Dichtiv achayi tena libo. In Kohelet, he gives the great advice that a person should go to the Beit Ha'evel. And a person should be involved in funerary rites and going to see a funeral and a house of mourning, because they should learn from that lesson and learn about the shortness of life and do tshuva, etc. And not doing that really is an affliction. Vitanya, parenthetically, we have a homily about this, which is most instructive. Hayar Meir Omer, Ma'irich Tivacha Yitein Libo. What does it mean that the living person will pay attention at the funeral? If he's somebody who eulogizes, they will eulogize for him. If he comes and weeps at the funeral, people will weep for him. If he is involved in actually burying, then others will bury him. In other words, the way that you relate to others when they have died, that's the way that others will relate to you when you die. The respect that you show for the mate is the kind of respect eventually you'll get, which means having a woman have to avoid that really is inui nefesh, and we've sidestepped the problem of Rabbi Yochanan's approach by saying that all of the components of nizirut involve inui nefesh, and therefore the husband, according to everybody's position, has the right to reject the entire nizirut. So we've gotten up to the next Mishnah. We'll pause at this point and pick up the next podcast. The Mishnah on Daf Pei Gimel Amud Bet. Everybody should have a wonderful day.